Tonight, guys, I'm going to be speaking on the armor of God, Galatians 6:10-20. So we're just going to go, we're going to have an in-depth look at the armor of God. We're going to be talking about praying, too. I touched upon praying last week, but there's a couple things I really want to mention tonight about prayer. Also, boldness in weakness is one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight as well. So that's going to be coming towards the end. So, Father God, I just pray for tonight, Lord. Lord, I lift up, Lord, just simply speak through me tonight, God. Lord, show me what areas you want me to touch upon, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, even if there's some things in my notes you don't want me to share, Lord. Lord, if there's things you want me to share that aren't in my notes, Lord. I just pray I will be open to that, God. Yes. So I just pray for your leading tonight, God. Lord, again, I thank you again for tangible presence. Lord, we need that every day, Lord, that sensing of your presence, Lord, in prayer, God. So I lift it up today. Lord, we lift up Michael, Lord, and everything going on his end, God. Lord, I just lift him up and just pass the mic as well, Lord. Lord, as he's, I'm assuming he's either praying or getting ready for a rest tonight right now, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And tonight, so Galatians 6:10-20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all preservation, perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance might be given to me, that I might be able to open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, you know, I like giving you guys backgrounds on this, on the text. This is written by Paul. Most of you guys know this. The main thing he's speaking of here is justification. The main context of this book is justification by faith over the works of the law. The Galatian church, you have this mixture of Jewish and Gentile believers. And the Jewish believers, they insisted on circumcision for the Gentiles in order to be saved. But Paul, he preached this liberty that, hey, you know, you don't necessarily need to be circumcised in order to be saved. So there was this liberty that Paul was trying to get into the Galatians. So they were bound by, you know, this kind of just this kind of systematic thing. So in this...
Where are you reading it?
I'm in Galatians.
Ephesians?
Yeah. Why do I have a Galatians? Oh, wow. Okay.
You were just testing us.
There we go.
That's okay.
Well, yeah, I was just testing you guys. Try Ephesians 6:10-20.
Okay.
60. Yeah, yeah. What was Galatians 6 to that? I don't know.
Maybe we need to be done.
Oh, that was going back to the Spirit.
Huh?
It was bear one another's burdens.
Oh, I have no idea why I have Galatians 4. I have no idea why. I don't know where that came up.
That's okay.
Yeah. So Ephesians is what it is. Ephesians 6:10-20. Check verse 10.
You did a Pastor Mike
there. Yeah, I pulled a Pastor Mike. I pulled a Pastor Mike there. Yeah, so. We need to pray again. But the main issue of Ephesians now, so that's Galatians. So Ephesians, we don't know what's going on in Ephesians. We'll just continue with the text then. Verse 10 then. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the whole issue of even in this particular text here, the issue of strength, the strength of God over human strength, how that really trumps any kind of strength that we have. And the issue of even the armor of God itself, when God tells us to take on the armor of God, it's not, it's his armor. It's not, you know, Armand's armor or some armor coming from some other thing. It's the armor coming from God himself. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the whole putting on the armor of God, the one thing I've always found interesting about the whole putting on of the armor of God is that he's telling you to put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's telling you to put. So it's not like you default have it on. It's like you have to make a conscious effort as you as a believer to actually put these things on. And you have to actually walk in these things. And you have to consciously, every day, be walking in the armor of God and be putting these things into practice. So this Christian walk is not passive. It's not a passive walk. It's an active thing. You're actually thrown right in the middle of a battle, essentially, what's going on. You're right in the mix, and you're going to be right in the mix of fighting. And it's going to be a war. It's going to be a war. And what do you guys know about this armor? What's the thing that whenever they talk about the armor of God, what's the one thing that they kind of bring up? What's the one thing that it lacks? There you go. Yeah, the armor of God lacks a backside. It lacks a back armor to defend. So when you're going into battle, you're not going to be turning around. And in fact, if you turn around, that's going to actually kill you if you actually turn around. So in this Christian walk, you're only called to move forward, and that's it. You can't go back. So in the same way that someone's, you know, moving the plow, if you're plowing back, you can't do that. So you have to continue moving forward and fighting forward. The one thing, though, too, is that Jesus said, which we're fighting, keeping the context of this armor, is that you're actually fighting from a place of victory. Colossians 2:13-15. When you were dead in your sins and in the circumcision of your flesh, God made you alive of Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, having disarmed the powers and authorities and having made public spectacle of them, triumphing them by the cross. So our triumph and our victory is when Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And he has victory over death. He has victory over any kind of demonic spirit, any kind of imp that would try and like harass you. You actually have victory over those things. And a lot of times we're fighting from a place of like, you know, oh, you know, we lost or we're losing or some kind of guilt kind of thing. No, Jesus actually is calling you. You fought in his victory. You actually have victory in that victory over when you had victory on the cross. So we're actually fighting on a foe that is already defeated, essentially. And he's just scrambling around trying to do what he's trying to do. He actually already knows he's going to actually be thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, that's kind of a crazy thing to kind of think about, to think that I know I'm going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That would drive probably any kind of supernatural being crazy. So he's doing as much as he can to try and do what he can, but he's already defeated. So he's a defeated foe. And Jesus Christ himself, he is our victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. And if you guys remember, in the context even that Jesus' victory over Satan, there's so many verses I could bring up. One of my verses I really love is in the very first messianic prophecy. I don't know if you remember in Genesis, where God is laying out all the, you know, curses and judgments to Adam and Eve, and then finally the snake. Like, what does he say to the woman? He says,
you'll stomp on the head of the serpent, and the serpent will strike your heel, or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you will bruise I need to actually memorize these verses. I'm getting my Bibles mixed up, and I'm getting my, where he's saying to the basically that he'll stomp, he'll crush the head of the snake, and he'll bruise the heel, like he'll bruise like his foot, his heel. And I remember, I don't want to get too much off topic, but it's such a perfect, like, imagery. When I first went to go see Passion of the Christ, like, I don't even remember, like, they have a scene in there where, like, Satan, you know, it takes the form of, you know, they're trying to describe, you know, the spiritual realm in an abstract kind of way. And the snake is going to Jesus, and, you know, it's all tempting him and everything in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then you have it where Satan, Jesus, he rises up, in victory, you know, and he actually stomps, you know, on the head of the snake. And I remember being in the theater, and right when that happened, there was a guy, like, behind me who was like, Jesus! You know, right? And I was like, yes, that's who that is. That is. But, I mean, he has victory over Satan, and he has victory over those demonic things. And we, in his victory, we actually have, we're not bound to follow the whims of, you know, any kind of satanic kind of temptation like that. So we're fighting from a place of victory, and we definitely need to have that in our spirit and in our soul. Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we're fighting, a lot of times we're fighting our battles, and we all do this, guys, where we're fighting our battles in a natural kind of way. In a natural way, we're trying to fight our battles like with our mind and our intellect. Unfortunately, those things are all natural. You know, God's calling us to fight in the supernatural, in the spirit, and in the power of his strength. A lot of times we're dealing with people, and we're, let's say witnessing. Let's put that, you know. Let's say witnessing to people, and you have someone else who's like just harassing you or whatever as you're witnessing. You might be just thinking, oh, that's just that person, you know. That person's actually being used as a, you know, puppet. That's Satan to actually distract. I remember there's sometimes where we used to go witnessing, and there would always be this mix. There'd always be this mix of like three people. There would always be like the one person who, when you're speaking to them, they know God's speaking through you to you. And they're listening. They're actually receiving what you're saying. Then there's one person who's like, they're like, they couldn't care. They're like, whatever, you know, okay. But then there's another person who's like more just mocking, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're just there. And whenever you have like the mix of like two or three people, there's like that kind of mix in there like that. And then you have it where the guy who's like there mocking, he's probably thinking in his mind, well, I'm just thinking this is funny, you know. He has no clue that actually that he's being used by Satan to try and like distract his little, you know, his buddies from what I'm trying to say mm-hmm. to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And this happens so much. I mean, the one example I remember where I was in like one of the malls or something, and we were witnessing, and there was this couple, and the guy was like listening to every word I was saying. The guy was like listening. He was like receiving. But the girl, I can't remember what I think she was like mocking basically what I was saying. She was mocking what I was saying. And I remember, this is going to sound funny, okay? This sounds funny. But I remember witnessing to him, speaking to him. And then when I would pause to kind of let him speak, I would just in my mind be praying, you know, Satan, be quiet in this lady, you know. And then the lady, it was funny. This was the funniest thing. Because the lady would be like, when I would pray that, she would like be acting like she was trying to speak, but she wouldn't speak. Like she'd be like this, like her mouth, like she was trying to speak, but her mouth was being like literally like frozen, like she wasn't being allowed to speak, you know. And again, that's just showing the context of how, in that situation, how Satan is, how really there's a spiritual dynamic there, that goes beyond just a natural kind of just thing. And again, even as we're talking about tonight, you know, even praying for loved ones and family members, you know, a lot of times we can argue, you know, with, oh, like, why aren't you saved? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? And a lot of times our family members, they've heard everything, you know, they've heard they've heard the reasons, everything they know all the arguments and everything. And what we need is actual supernatural move of God's Spirit to actually move on these people, you know, and to actually, you know, move on these people, you know. And that's only going to come by really even just a humble, we need God to humble us even to in prayer, you know, and just the fast, you know, which I'm going to get into tonight a little bit later. So the natural versus the supernatural of God's Spirit versus the spiritual darkness that actually controls things behind the scenes. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you see that taken up, putting on, that's repeated again. So Paul's not messing around with this. He's repeating over and over again the need for us to actually take these things on. So again, this is not a passive thing. We need to actually gird ourselves and put the armor on and prepare ourselves actually for battle. The evil days. So one of the things that this armor protects us from are the evil days that are coming. And actually, the evil days are already here. We got some evil days going on right now. And I was talking, you guys know I went to go teach at, you know, at the event, at the evangelism course Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one of the pastors. The pastor was real cool. I think it's the first time I actually had an in-depth talk with the head pastor. You know, I mainly associate with the associate pastor. And I was talking with him, and we were talking for like 30 minutes, you know, just kind of going back and forth with different things. And a lot of the same things he deals with in terms of like just dealing with religion. I mean, that's all around. I mean, you know how that is. But I just asked him, hey, you know, have you noticed like pastors and like ministers and people who are like, you know, that even like not necessarily even pastors or ministers, but even people who are just in ministry, you know, kind of going through like weird kind of trials recently. And I was like, and I even asked him, like, not even just like normal trials, but like in the past few months, just like weird trials, you know. And he was like, just like, yeah, you know, yeah, I've actually noticed that. And he was just talking about how, you know, just even the, I believe he went into the topic of the refining of our faith. How, you know, how all those things are coming, really to burn off things off of the men of God, you know, of now, in order to prepare them for the things that he's called, you know, the men of God, his men to do, and his leaders to do. So there's things that he's going through, and then pastors he knows that, you know, that even I know mutually of him, that it's like, yeah, they're going through some stuff. So, yeah, the evil days are definitely... And they're always going to be here as long as we're living on this earth. But there is that refining that is taking place. Notice that is in verse 13, the whole armor of God. This is the second time that's mentioned. We need to take on the whole armor of God. So we can't take part of it. So we just take like just our sword. Well, we're going to be going out in the battle like completely defenseless. We're not going to have any kind of defense or anything. We're going to get hit. If we go out with no sword, but just, you know, all armor, then we're not going to take any ground at all. We need to actually have some kind of weapon in order to fight with. Mm-hmm. So there's a need for the entire armor to be on the believer. Otherwise, Satan, he's a master tactician, right? He can see, he's been around for how many more years than we've been around. He can see exactly where our weak spots are. He can see exactly where, even better than we even know our own weak spots. And he'll take out, okay, that person doesn't have the helmet of salvation. I'll go for their mind. You know, I'll go for their mind. They're not shod. The feet aren't shod with the gospel, the preparation of peace. Okay, so they're not prepared and they're not, you know, doing, they're not moving forward in that mindset of the gospel. I'll make sure to, you know, just kill their witness or something, you know, do like. So he's going to attack whatever areas that we don't have if we're not taking on the whole armor of God in our Christian walk. So he's going to take on all those. He's going to take it. And he's going to see it. He's going to take it. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you see that third stand, that issue of standing. So standing your ground. So this one, it's one of the things, what's the main things that's... the issue of standing your ground in your faith and your convictions and what God has called you to do. That even goes back to even like what we've been talking about, the issue of the fallow ground. And I'm hoping I'm not being too like making a connection that's, you know, it's too crazy. But one of the things with the goals really of what the good ground is that you have a strong root. Is that you have a strong root that cannot be moved. And then that only comes by you allowing the word of God to actually take seed in your heart. And then if it flourishes and actually creates strong roots, you're going to stand firm. You're going to have any kind of winds and trials, any kind of enemy that comes against you that tries to attack you, whatever comes against you, you're not going to be moved because that strong root is in there in your heart. Now, we've seen this before to where like, and we've talked about this before in the past couple, you know, weeks or so, to where like you can have where someone's root is not strong in their faith, in their heart. Well, they have it where someone comes against them or some spiritual, you know, darkness that we talked about in this context will come against them. Well, they won't stand their ground at all. They'll wither and they'll back away and they'll shy away from the battle. And they'll have the enemy coming at them with their swords and their fiery darts and everything. And they're going to, as we talked about earlier, going to turn away. Jesus. And what happens when you turn away?
From the battle,
you get chopped up. You're exposed at that point. So there's this need to stand your ground, and it only comes from having that strong foundation in Jesus Christ Himself and in His Word. The waist, that's the girded your waist with truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the loins. So truth itself, the one thing that really came to my heart as I was thinking about the issue of truth is that this isn't just truth in the sense of like, okay, I'm going to read my scripture and then just kind of intellectually kind of just gain truth, you know. And we have to remember that truth is actually a person. And that's so different from what I remember that and during the time of Jesus, you had, I believe the timeline. Josh, help me out with the timeline here. Greek philosophers before time of Jesus? They were before, I believe.
Yeah.
The Greek philosophers, yeah, they were before the time of Jesus. You still had philosophers and stuff during, you know, the Rome, but they were kind of, you know, before that.
The baking
Romans. Even in the issue of even like the Romans, the whole issue of like truth is more something that you kind of, even like you get into like Mars Hill and stuff. So you got that. Truth is something that you kind of discuss and you kind of like know and you kind of, you know, you kind of debate and things like that. Whereas in the context of knowing Jesus and the scriptures, well, truth is actually someone that you actually know. So it's someone that you actually, it's a person that you actually meet. So it's not a matter of learning more facts, you know, which, okay, yeah, that's fine. But it's more so that, okay, I'm developing this relationship with the actual person of truth, that I'm actually learning truth. That's why, you can go back to like, you can have someone who's backslidden. It's not a matter of them, you teaching them more facts and them kind of learning, you know, more things. It's that they lost a connection with that relationship with truth. They actually lost that, who is Jesus Christ Himself. They lost that relationship. They don't want a relationship with truth. So that's really what it comes down to. Who's the opposite? Who's the opposite? The opposite is a little bit of a, it's a misnomer there, but Satan himself, the father of lies. So you have Satan, who's deceived, you know, a deceiver, you know, who's, he himself is deceived to think he can actually take on God, you know, he himself deceived. But Jesus himself, he says, "You will know the truth," and what do you say? You will know the truth, and the truth will
set you free.
Truth will set you free. It will actually free. But again, truth is the actual, is an actual person. It's not just something that we just take on and we just kind of learn, like you would, like math or social studies or something like that. Breastplate of righteousness. Again, I was reading these scriptures. I don't think I actually went through any commentaries for this one, so that's kind of good. You know what's wrong? I'm so happy that the Lord grew me beyond. I want to give a little testimony here. I was kind of actually. I used to be so bound by my notes and everything, and I still have some notes here and there, you know. But it's not like it was when I first, you know, gave, you know, when I first spoke, you know, like back when I was like younger and I had everything written out. And I'm definitely happy that the Lord broke me out of that. And I'm praying that he still continues to break me out of that. It got to the point where I actually tried to, I was at like that same church I went to like Saturday, like a couple, like a month ago or so. And I tried speaking from like notes that I had from like literally years ago. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it was so binding me. So the script is so binding me. So I definitely pray, guys, that, you know, I continue to break away and just be led of the Lord. So that's a little testimony for you guys. That's just a little side note. But breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate protect? What does that protect?
Chest, the heart.
So these are like your vitals. You know, you obviously you got the vitals up here too. But you got your lungs, your chest, you got even your stomach. Really, your stomach is important too, because if you don't want that messed up. So you got all those different things that are protected in your body with the breastplate. Now our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. That's ultimately where our righteousness comes. There's nothing we can do in ourselves to gain any kind of, you know, favor from God. So is his righteousness that is imposed on us when we have faith. So our object is what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We believe, and when we believe, we're made righteous. So our righteousness comes by faith, not by the works that we do. But there is a need for us to walk in that righteousness. Does that make sense? So we have to actually walk. So even if we believe, you have theologians where they break it down like this, like practical righteousness and imputed righteousness. Really, at the end of the day, we need to walk in a righteousness that we've been called to walk in. That's really what it comes down to, even though we have all these various theological, you know, phrases. That will actually protect us. So it's not a matter of us just, it's not like, okay, we can choose to be righteous, you know, one day, we can choose to be righteous in this particular thing. But actually, the breastplate of righteousness actually protects us. It actually protects our actual being, our spirit and our soul from damage from the enemy. Because what happens actually when you're unrighteous? What happens when you're unrighteous? Well, you're not protected. You're not protected. Actually, what happens is that internally, you become messed up internally when you're unrighteous. It says in the scripture that you cannot serve two masters. You actually grow to hate one of the masters and love one of the others. So there's this thing that'll happen. You can't serve two masters. You will actually get messed up internally if you don't walk in righteousness. It'll be like a sickness, kind of like a cancer, you know? So that's part of the aspect too, with the breastplate of righteousness. It actually protects your internals. Now, again, visually, you might be good. You might be good visually. But what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, "You're whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but then internally you have, you know, bones and you have all this deadness inside of you." So that breastplate of righteousness, when we walk in the righteousness of Christ, it actually protects our internals and our insides from getting messed up and nasty and stuff. Verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the gospel, that's actually directing our path. That's actually directing where we're going, and that's directing our leading in our path. Also, the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation is letting you know that there's going to be conflict, basically. You're going to be going into conflict. Again, that's backtracking to the whole aspect of having armor. You have armor for what? For a war, for a battle. So you're going into this knowing, preparing that for some kind of conflict. And again, this is not in the natural, this is conflict in the spiritual sense, which can probably manifest in people and in situations. But the focus is that there's a spiritual dynamic. There's a spiritual conflict that's going on that you've been thrust into. One of the things I've kind of recently done, which I haven't really had a lot of sinner's prayers and things like that. But whenever I do get the sinner's prayers, I almost always now let the person know that, hey, I'll say sinner's prayer with you, but I just want you to know, you're going to go through some really crazy stuff. Like, as a believer, you're going to go through some trials, and you're going to go through some things which are unique to you as a believer. And I just think that, and I even let them know that, really, I tell them to count the cost. Because as the scripture says, that if you're actually going to be following Jesus, there's a need for you to count the cost. It'd be like, okay, what is this actually going to, like, cost me as a person, you know? And I let people know that, hey, you're going to be going through some trials and tribulations, you know, temptations. God's going to call you to let things go. You know, are you sure you actually want to, you know? And I told them, I'm not trying to scare you, because at the end of the day, your strength comes from Christ alone, really. Your strength is not in yourself. So you God will give you strength to get you through this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'll let them know, this is not going to be a cakewalk. There's going to be an aspect where you're going to be tried in ways that, as a normal person, you won't be tried. In other words, really, you're going to be tried in the spirit, is what's going to be happening. You're going to be tried in ways that, again, are unique. So I always put that little disclaimer on the sinner's prayer whenever, you know, we get to that point with a particular person. So, continuing on, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you got this shield of faith here. So you got faith that's integrated in our spiritual warfare. That's actually protecting us when the enemy comes with his fiery darts trying to attack us. So one of the things that greatly increases our faith is the aspect of prayer and fasting. That is something that, there's a lot of things actually that increase our faith. There's a lot. You got worship, and you have, even witnessing actually increases your faith as well. But prayer and fasting, those are things that are so crucial to our walk and actually builds up and edifies our faith. Matthew 17:19-21. Then disciples came to Jesus privately. They didn't want to be embarrassed, and said, "Why would you not cast it out? Why could we not cast it out?" They're talking about a demon. That is, you know, let you guys know. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So that is an aspect that is so required for even... That's actually a very simple way, just to devote some time and just, you know, devote it to prayer and fasting in order to increase your faith. Now, what also increases our faith, too, is trials and tribulations. But in those, it says that's the refining of our faith. But that's out of our control. That's something that God, you know, kind of... He puts us through in order to refine us. It's not comfortable, but he puts us through it for the refining of our faith. But something that we can do on our end is actually prayer and fasting. And I know we had this season recently of prayer and fasting in our church. And I know it was called, but, you know, God laid it on Miss Anna's heart for prayer and fasting. And but really, that should be something we should just be doing on our own. Really, at the end of the day, really, we need to, you know, just be praying. In fact, we have ourselves need to have a time set aside to have communion with God. And I used to have a Thursday set aside for like prayer, like fasting, you know, and set aside for fasting. I'm starting to now finally get back to where I'm having consistent fasting, you know. But my dad used to always have fasting too, like on a particular day. I forget when he had it. And he's gotten now to where he's older, so he's kind of has to kind of watch that, I think. So that's such an important thing to have that fasting. I'm going to let you guys know too, don't be surprised if you guys set aside like a whole day of fasting and prayer just for that and not getting distracted by anything else. Like, don't be surprised if like weird stuff begins to happen, like weird stuff. And on one level, yes, okay, weird stuff in the sense that, you know, you'll have stuff raise up in you, your own self, because your flesh is being challenged, mm-hmm. and you know your things are being raised up that, you know, that just bring brought to the service that God is letting you like to try deal with, you know. But I've had things happen even when I was like fasting that were literally like supernatural things happening, like, you know, literally, I'm not gonna lie, even in the house that were happening as I was fasting. And literally, I think the whole purpose of that even was to distract me from the fasting. Because really, you know, devil, his bark is worse than his bite, right? He goes about as a roaring lion, you know, going. Really, his whole thing is really just to distract you. He can't really do anything to you. So there was one day where I was fasting, and I had like weird things happening, like annoying things that were like just didn't make any sense. And I was like, my goodness, you know, you'll get Satan's attention when you start actually, you know, fasting and doing things like that. So don't be surprised if stuff like that happens when you fast. Like, seriously fast and pray, you know. That's what I'm saying. Like, seriously fasting and pray. So that shield, the defense against the devil, what is he throwing at you? He's throwing at you, like, doubts to try and kill your faith. He's sending out little things at you, you know, try and kill, you know, destroy whatever kind of... That, and that's actually how kind of doubt, if you picture it, that's actually kind of how it works, to where you believe something and then you have like a little like dart coming out of nowhere, like, you know, oh, what was this? Is this actually what God said? Maybe God's not actually faithful. Maybe, you know, they come out of nowhere and they're little darts actually coming at your soul and your mind. But that shield of faith will actually protect you from all those darts that are coming at you. So, I'm sorry?
Yeah, put that shield up there.
Yeah, you gotta put the shield, you know, Captain America. She had to put a comic book reference there. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet, so even our very thinking needs to be protected. So our very mind needs to be protected. It needs salvation. And that's done by the washing of our minds by the word of God itself, to where it actually cleanses our mind and cleanses our thought process. I don't know if you realize how much, like, even in like a, because you guys know, obviously, my main thing to do, like is writing and words and communications and things like that, you know. I don't know if you know how much when you read something or hear music that actually affects your mind, and how it affects it more in ways that we don't really think, you know. To where you can read something or hear a song or even like visually see something and how much that sticks and actually imprints on you. So there's that need for that washing of your mind with the word of God, and actually protect your mind. Even your mind needs to be saved. So essentially is what needs to occur. A lot of times your mind, your spirit becomes regenerated. Your spirit becomes regenerated the moment you become born again and you get the actual Spirit of God in you. That's a whole cool another topic. I'm not going to get sidetracked on that, but that's a whole cool thing with that. How that, you know, how that all occurs, and even I don't fully understand it. I'm definitely not trying to say I fully understand it, but your spirit is renewed, but your mind oftentimes still needs to be saved, and it still needs to actually kind of be transformed into the mind of Christ, really. So that mind, that helmet of salvation, that protection that comes over your mind. And then the Word of God itself, the only offensive weapon in the entire, and in that whole armor that you have is the Word of God itself that you have. And what is it that when Jesus was being tempted by Satan and the devil, how's the way he answered Satan? He's like, it is written, you know, it is written. Even God himself and Son of God himself is saying, it is written. Now, Satan, he obviously knew, he knew some scripture too. But at the end of the day, Jesus still backed him off by the Word of God, correctly quoting the Word of God. And that's why, again, it's so important even for us to, like worship. Like a lot of times we're worshiping and we're actually worshiping, singing out the Word of God. And that's actually imprinted in our hearts and our mind as we go forth in this spiritual battle. Verse 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication with all the saints. So the whole, this is one of the things that really I was kind of wanting to, touch upon tonight. Is the issue of the prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And really this has to do with a bigger issue of even just living in the Spirit in general. The whole need for us to actually live and walk in the Spirit of God. So I want to note a couple things first. The whole prayer and supplication. So prayer, we've talked about this before. The issue of the state of prayer. And then supplication is the actual, speaking to. So you have this issue where prayer, you guys know what prayer is, but we can always repeat it. This communication with God, to where it's like you have supplication, you're speaking to God, but then there's this aspect to where you're actually hearing and waiting for God to speak, back to you. This came to my heart actually, just right now. I've dealt with a couple of people who were involved, Reformed, Calvinist kind of thing. And I don't like denomination kind of things, But they were involved with that kind of, very sterile denominations, And one of the sad things, I kind of recently dealt with some people, and one of the sad things, too, that they kind of mentioned, I didn't even think about this as I was talking with them, because you have these different levels. You have some people who are hardline, all the way, down to this, But then you have more which are kind of like playing around with it, kind of just thinking about it. And one of the things that really kind of broke my heart as I was talking with one guy was that he kind of mentioned how, and he was getting into Calvinist kind of stuff. I'm obviously not going to mention the name. And he was like, I kind of just don't feel the need to pray anymore. I mean, what's really the need for prayer, And it's just like, you have communication with God. You have actually, the ability to kind of talk with God, and actually communicate with him. And it's like, but you run into that a lot, you run into that a lot. I mean, that's kind of a scary thing to where it's like, I don't really feel the need to actually pray, because everything is, this isn't Calvinist night, so I'm not gonna talk about that. But just that mindset of just like, I don't need to, what's the purpose, of me really speaking to God? What can actually change by me actually speaking to God? Well, everything can change by you actually speaking to God. And if not, everything can change. Actually, one of the main things, too, of prayer is that it actually changes your own being, your own being, because you're spending time with God and you're allowing him to actually change things that are on the inside. That it only comes by relationship. Even in a practical level, like in the natural, when you hang out with someone, you generally kind of begin to take on things, that are of that person, even subconsciously. Now imagine that we're sitting with the creator of the universe, where you're actually sitting with God and you're actually taking that, he's actually changing your being. So it was a kind of, when I heard that, it was kind of a heart, I didn't really pick it up. It is like one of those things that kind of used to, you know, quickly, you know, and it's right. Like you don't really think about it. It's like, you know, I gave like an answer. I forget what I answered him. But afterward, I was kind of thinking, like, that's actually kind of a sad thing to actually think about that, you know. But they're still, and it's not like they're, I've heard that before. I heard that in other, and it's not like he's saying, I don't pray anymore. But it was like, well, I have this, I don't really feel like. There's other people who are actually Christians where I've actually heard where it's like, they're in lines of thought like that. And it's like, well, I just don't pray because I don't feel a need for it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, mm-hmm. What? It's like, wow, my goodness. That constant state of verse 18, praying always with all prayer. So you have that constant state of prayer, that always that's going on. It's not that you're always necessarily lifting up things to God, but your state of heart is always to where you're in that. It really comes down to practicing the presence of God, to where you're constantly aware of the presence of God 24/7. Mm-hmm. And whether we're here, you know, Wednesday night, whether we're Sunday morning, daily life, just kind of going about our day, mm-hmm. constantly aware of, like, you know, God is with you as you're in the middle of the night, as you're waking up, what is God speaking to me? God, I'm open if you're willing to speak to me wherever. So that constant state of actual prayer to God. Watchful to this end. I'm hoping I'm not butchering this verse here. But one of the things, too, with prayer is that need. What did Jesus say? That need to be to watch and pray. So there's a need for us to be watchful and to pray as well. There was another aspect, too, that I completely forgot. But there's that need for as you're praying, you're keeping an eye out. There are one of the guys who I kind of deal with. There was a kid who I was dealing with who basically, this is a whole conversation I'm not going to get into. But he was saying, I was just basically telling him the need to, as you're praying, you're also watching for the spiritual atmosphere around you too. You're keeping your eyes open for your basic discernment. Is that what I'm talking about? You're trying to discern also what's going on, because you need to make decisions based on discernment and not just, you know, okay, what I feel is right, you know. That's just a need for as you're praying to be led by God as you pray. Now, the whole issue, the main thing I was kind of wanting to touch upon with this particular verse is the praying in the Spirit. And this is a need for us to, as we're praying, to have that aspect to where you're, and all of us are at different levels, you know, of this. But the need for us to pray in the Spirit versus praying with our intellect, praying with our emotions, and praying with our minds. All of you guys kind of know this. So I think you guys understand where I'm coming from with this. I think you guys know that when let's say we have like a prayer night, or even in your individual prayer, I think you guys notice this, to where, like, we start off, even in my individual prayer, I start off praying things like what I know. You know, I pray what I know. I pray what I know, and I pray according to my mind, and I pray to my feelings, and I pray with my emotions and my intellect. But there's a point, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys notice this, I think you guys notice this, where, like, you're just sitting in the presence of God, and you're praying, and there's this shift that takes place, that, like, kind of just that breakthrough, you know, to where, like, you're no longer praying with your mind, you're actually kind of sensing, and this really, I'm really describing something else, too, to where you're diligent and you're diligent and you're patient in prayer and just kind of, you know, sitting there in the presence of God. It takes time for this mind to slow down. And we often pray with this mindset, you know, with this kind of mindset in mind. But then the Lord, you know, he slows us down and he gets us to where, okay, you break through that, break through all the noise, break through just praying what we know. Then you actually get to where you get the heart of God. You know, you actually get the heart of God and you actually sense, okay, this is actually now what God wants me to pray. This is actually what God wants me to pray. This is actually what he has for me to give to Josh or John or Matt or whatever. these are, instead of me just praying the normal rope, you know, of just kind of what I know and what I see, or even just what I feel. What we feel can often kind of like masquerade as like, oh, this is a spirit. But the Spirit of God cuts through and just completely trumps all of that. And there's nothing really wrong with, there's nothing really wrong with praying with your mind and intellect. There's nothing really wrong with that per se. But the problem with that is that it's so limited. It's limited to what actually the Lord wants to do in all of us, really. Because we're just praying by what we know. We're not allowing the Lord to actually show us, like, okay, this is beyond what you actually know. There's been times where, like, again, I'm praying, like, let's say individual prayer, just by myself. And, like, I'm praying, you know, and I'm praying, you know, like, in, you know, my mind and my intellect. But then finally I, like, slow down, you know. I kind of slow down and I actually just wait for the Lord to actually speak, you know. And there's things that come to my heart that, like, I would not have thought of that in the natural way. There's like solutions and things. I'm not saying like God will give you solutions. You know, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm just trying to say God speaks to you when you finally start praying in the Spirit and actually getting the heart of God and the Spirit of God in ways that are like I wouldn't have thought about that, you know, in the natural way. You know, there's different things too where let's say I have like an issue. Let's say I have like a problem, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, God is completely like our problem solver like that. But I mean, he's our Father, so he cares for us, you know. So I don't want to neglect that either. But let's say I have an issue, and I'm praying, and then and first, like, I'm just doing everything I can in the natural, you know, doing everything I can in natural things, and I'm like why can't I figure out how to, you know, solve this particular issue? But then I finally go, like, let's say an hour of, like, wasting time trying to solve things, like, in a natural. And I finally just, like, okay, Lord, let me slow down and actually get your heart on even things that are just, like, practical things, you know. And literally, the Lord will probably speak to my heart. And he'll be like, okay, this is how you solve this. And it's like, I wasted, like, an hour. I wasted, like, an hour trying to. So there's things in. And not just those kind of things. The Lord will speak to you too, like in visions, where he'll give you in mind's eye, you know, vision of where, let's say, where to go to evangelize, or who to speak to, or like a particular thing that's going on. More, really, more of an aspect of who he is, even too, or more of an aspect of his character. When we begin praying in the Spirit. So that's something we definitely need. But that requires patience, though. It's not going to be, again, this here, we like to pray in our mind, we like to pray in our intellect, and what we know, because it's safe, you know, it's safe to kind of do that. But then the Lord, he has to break those things. But it's, we have to be patient, though. Mm-hmm. We have to be patient. We have to be diligent. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to take time. Verse 19 through 20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul here is asking for boldness, but there's something here that I found was very interesting. He's asking for boldness. But he's asking for boldness as he's in his chains. As he's in his chains and he's going through all these different kind of things, you know. And speaking the gospel in boldness in chains, remember where Paul is speaking from. He's speaking from a, he's writing these things from a jail cell. Mm-hmm. He's bound. So we're reading this and we oftentimes kind of forget that, you know, that he's actually preaching from a place of, you know, being in a prison, you know. Yeah, incarcerated, exactly. And I think that one, to speak at bold as they're in chains, you have to ask the Spirit of God for that, because you're in prison. So it's like your normal, in the natural, your normal mindset your normal, like, thoughts and feelings, and again, the natural is like, I'm in chains, therefore I can't speak boldly, I'm bound, I'm in prison. You know, what reason do I have to speak boldly if I'm in prison? But Paul's actually asking that they will pray for him, that he can speak boldly the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and speak boldly as he may ought to speak. And the one thing I can think of too is that, obviously, we're not in chains, like, none of us here are in chains. But a lot of us are, again, might be going through trials and things like that. That can be almost considered, you know, like, chains, you know, that are kind of holding us down, that are kind of just, like, restricting us. And I think the one thing for myself, this is really almost me, myself, as I read this, God is really challenging me to even to speak with boldness with the gospel, even as I'm going through my various trials, even as I'm in my kind of like, mm-hmm. like, and then what I'm going through is just like, you know, minor stuff. It's not even compared, like compared to people in other countries, you know, it's like on my worst day is like, it's nothing compared to what people are actually going through in other countries. But that need to speak the gospel in boldness, even as you're going through whatever trials and what it kind of, because it's easy to really, I won't say it's easy, it's easy to really preach the gospel in boldness when you're, everything's fine and dandy and everything's going, you know, you're not in prison and you're going out and everything's perfectly fine. But as you're going through whatever trials and Paul's situation, again, chains and prison, that tends to make you a little more, you know, kind of like weaker and like kind of like why should I preach the gospel in boldness if, you know, if I'm in this situation, you know, that I'm in. So pray for each other, pray for yourself, the ability to speak the gospel in boldness as you're in whatever kind of situation that you're going through. Whatever, again, I've heard a lot of things to where a lot of preachers and different other people are kind of going through various kind of trials and things. And there's that need to even have boldness even as you're going through whatever trials and things that you're going through. So that's the one thing I really, God was speaking to me as I read this particular scripture. So just for ending for you guys, 2 Timothy 2:4, even in the context of the armor of God and just the issue of the spiritual warfare that pretty much you guys are thrust into, all of us are thrust into the moment we're born again. 2 Timothy 2:4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So the need for us to where we're soldiers in the army of God, and we're our weapons of warfare are not natural. They're not normal, like physical. I'll give you a funny story. We went on a men's retreat like years ago, and there was this guy. I don't think any of you. I don't even remember who it was now. Now that I think about it, but there's this guy. We're talking about like the devil or something, and this guy was like, "I just want to take the devil. I've seen him mess up so many lives, and I just want to punch him in the face." And I'm like, I don't think it works like that. I don't think you getting angry like the devil, he'd probably laugh at you if you, you know.
Is this a person in the military?
I can't remember if it was, I can't remember who.
With a military kid that Jay brought.
Dan?
Dan.
Oh, what are you doing here? I can't remember, honestly, though, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember if it was. It was, all I remember is that someone was still saying, I gotta just punch the devil in the face. You know, it's like, you're not gonna win the battle with the devil by being angry. Like, but your warfare comes from, there are articles that come from God himself. They're elements that are, they're divine. They're not natural. They're not of the mind and not of feelings. So I just want you guys to remember that as we go forth tonight. And you know, you guys each go to your own houses. Just that, remember that as you're going to spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Father God, I lift up tonight, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just pray all of us are fighting battles, Lord. I know battles can kind of make us a little bit weakened and not make us where we kind of don't really want to fight, Lord. But you're definitely calling. I know you're calling me to boldness, Lord. In whatever context you'd have me to be in, Lord. Lord, and I just pray for that for all of us, God. Lord, help us to not have excuses to where it's like, well, we're going through this, we're going through that, Lord. Lord, you call us to definitely fight and to not be entangled by things of the world and the concerns of the world, Lord. So we just pray that for each of us here, Lord, that we'd each be true soldiers for you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the prayer life of everyone in here, Lord. Help us to break through in our individually, not so we can brag, not so we can say that I've had a vision or I've had this occur or whatever, Lord. But Lord, just so we can know you more, Lord. Mm-hmm. So we can know you more. So you can teach us, God, in that prayer closet. Mm-hmm. So you can mold our spirits more into who, and really into the image of Christ, God. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray that for everyone here, that they would be praying in the Spirit, Lord. Yes. Teach us how to pray, Lord. We really don't even know how to pray, God.
That's right.
Lord, we don't know how to pray, God. So we pray, Lord, we pray, even as it says in Romans, that the Spirit prays for us with groaning and utterances that we can't even understand, God. So we pray for that, God, in each of our lives. Again, 24/7 is not bound by Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, God. So we pray for that. We lift that up, Lord. Lord, I pray for all the various ministers and things that are going through diverse trials, Lord. Lord, I can name even with the whole North Park situation, God. That's falls into that same category. There's probably I know for sure there's probably ministers there that are dealing with that situation, Lord. And Lord, even the one other minister I know who's going through health issues, and his daughters are going through health issues, and wife is going through health issues, and Lord, it's going around, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, I know you're refining us in our faith, God. That's the whole purpose of these things, is to refine us. So I just pray, Lord, make us strong, Lord, in your strength, God. And I know you're burning away our human striving, Lord, and our human weaknesses, God. So we pray for that, Lord. I pray for myself, Lord, as I'm just going to be doing some freelance work this week. And I just pray for your strength even as I'm doing that, Lord. So I just lift up today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.